Hey, everybody. Two studio shows in a row. That's a new record for 2015, for the month of June in 2015. Well, welcome. I have a very disappointing announcement to start off with, but it won't be disappointing. It's disappointing to me, because here's what happened. I had this catalog that I don't know why I got it, but it was a catalog of basically, I don't know how to put this nicely, but I'll do it as nicely as I can. Shit to let retarded people live sort of normal lives. You know, like shower, chairs, crazy canes that have, you know, like 10 canes on the bottom. Like it's like a robot spider on the bottom. I didn't mention this about Comic-Con because I know I've said it before, but every time I go to a nerd convention, I see somebody with a kind of like a crutch or a walker situation that I have never seen in my entire life, where I'm not even totally sure. I'm like, is this like some kind of anime costume, or is that like a, oh no, that person cannot walk. Okay. So I had this whole catalog of this stuff, and it was great. Now, we all know how I feel about that kind of thing. It's sort of like how I feel about public transportation. Like, it's good, except I don't like that, you know, bums use it, because I don't feel like bums need to get around. And, you know, maybe the retardeds don't need to do normal stuff. Okay, now we got rid of all the people who don't need to listen to this show. They just turned it off. So now we can just talk normal. I was being purposely outrageous just to get rid of the losers. So I thought I had this catalog. Well, I did have this catalog, but now what I have, apparently the one I saved is not that one. This is a sports medicine catalog for athletic trainers and coaches that I got for some reason. And it's pretty awesome because the cover has like all these different trainers basically cleaning up an athlete. So one, pretty sure this girl is dead. She's just laying on the ground. A guy is touching her back and someone else is like, go call 911. The next one is a wrestler who's got a pretty bad cut under his eye and looks punch drunk. There's a snowboarder who's like holding her foot out of a boot and she's like, oh, my ankle. And I'm like, maybe you should put your fucking boot back on. You're in the snow, idiot. Softball player with probably the smallest bruise I've ever seen. Some lady just holding her hands up. A football guy who's being tenderly touched on his hip. That kind of thing. There's one on the right. I can't tell what the sport is, but the guy seems to be kind of wailing. And a baseball player who's just kind of in the, you know, those abdomen exercises you do where you like make a bridge on the ground. You face the ground and you kind of get in push-up position, plank sort of thing. He seems to be doing that. I think he might be fine. I don't know. Baseball players are huge wusses. That's the dumbest sport. Like, oh, well, we can't play because it's raining. Oh, okay. Well, that seems like a reasonable excuse to not play an outdoor fucking sport. Rain. There's water in our presence, so we can't do it. Shit. But so let's look at this and see if it's any good. Right away, we've got a wire carrier for drinking bottles. This is the thing that nerd carries, who's like, well, I can't play on this sports team, but I would. It is important to me that they're hydrated. It's important to me that I carry drinks to the worst person that I go to school with. The biggest asshole I've ever met. I want to make sure that he's not thirsty. So that's going to be a good way to spend my education. They have some gum that quenches a thirst, I guess. They've got, a Rubbermaid cool down tub. Get in and relax while cooling their core temperature. Perfect for athletes who need to cool down. After practice, prior to entering the field house, or great to use when athletes have been overexposed to heat. Fill it with water and it's ready to use. This is like written for the stupidest person in the world. How would you use this tub to cool someone down? Oh, well, we suggest simply filling it with water. I never thought it could be so easy. Fill a thing with water, and the water stays in the thing, and then, this is the tricky part, this dude gets in there. Amazing. They have some misters. Oh, this is a hydration system. This is nice. It's a pole with a bunch of hoses hanging off it, like little hoses. They're like a tiny version of what you use to wash your car at the car wash. And you press it down and sprays water in your mouth. And they've got a guy drinking from it, spitting the water back out. Which is perfect, because that's what these assholes are doing. By the way, I just want to ask the world, how much spitting are you guys doing on average? Because every time I go into a bathroom, urinal, sink, somewhere, someone has been spitting. Or I hear a guy next to me spitting, like hawking up a huge one. How much spitting do you need to do? Why? Every time you go to the bathroom, that's a spit? Every time. Every time. Or 10 spits. Here's a pager that is an early warning for lightning strikes. Sounds to me like the system for telling if a lightning strike is hitting you is a fucking dead kid laying there. Couldn't you see? I was like near the baseball field and I saw a bunch of lightning and then everyone had to leave. I always hated that when I was a kid. I was like, fuck that shit. Who cares? Or you know what I always didn't like? You're at the pool. And there's lightning like 50 miles away. And they're like, uh-oh, we better get everyone out of the pool. Like, I think they just wanted to leave early. I think that was like a way a lifeguard, who now I realize was 14, can just be like, oh, we had to close. There was lightning. It's responsible now for me to close and make everyone else leave. And then we can do flips off the diving board. That's what we're going to do. You can get a 25-pound bucket of skin lube. It's $162. That seems like a fair price. That would be a fun bucket just to have around the house. Just for people to come and be like, oh, that doesn't have lube in it. I used all the skin lube. I just lube up before whatever. You've got these compression socks for your arms. You know, which I don't think do anything. It's just like LeBron James is wearing one, so I probably better. That's probably the biggest difference between me and him. It's this fucking stupid compression sleeve. By the way, you know you can wear is a goddamn sleeve already. You know? I don't understand why basketball players, they're like, oh man, if I'm wearing more clothes than a tank top, it's going to severely limit my ability to play basketball. How could anyone play basketball? They have a brace for every part of your body in this magazine. Blister care. That's boring. Foam. Boring. The King-Devick test. There's no such thing as a tough bride. Oh, this is a concussion screening test. Well, that's interesting. I should take one of those. I've had one. I wonder how long in the future it goes. Backpacks full of medical supplies, some kind of rolling dildo, some kind of a ball. There's this one of these balls. It's like a balance training ball, and this lady's doing a squat on it in this picture, and she is looking into the camera like, you're looking at my butt, aren't you? I can tell. She's just giving this very mean look into the camera that I don't... is that the best picture? Did they just take one, and it was a film camera, and they're like, yeah, fuck it, it'll be fine. And they get her, and they're like, oh, God. She doesn't look like she's having fun. Ooh, Vortex ice bags. These are plastic bags with unparalleled strength and puncture resistance. That is amazing. Oh, and they're wide enough to accommodate an ice shovel. Unlike whatever the fuck bags you've been using. You know, I'm sure most of you have just been using any old bag. But no more. Now we've got special bags. Massage table. That's nice. Anything creepier that you could find in someone's house than a massage table? From their, like, you know, side business or whatever? I'm like, oh, God. Let's not talk about that, okay? Massage table. Mmm. You can get one of these defibrillators. These are nice. I don't know if I talked about it before. I took a first aid class, and we had these defibrillators. Here's why I took the first aid class. We were getting one of these at my work. They're like, we're putting one in. And I was like, don't you have to know some shit to use those? And they're like, no, man, it directs you. It tells you what to do. And I was like, yeah, I still feel like there's probably things to know. And, you know, it turns out, of course, there is. Like, you're supposed to use CPR along with it. And also, there's, like, certain ways you're supposed to put it on people. And this is the best part. They come with a little razor. Because when you put it on someone, you're supposed to, like, shave their chest hair off. Because apparently, you know, this story is that some firefighter guy was trying to use it. And they were testing it on him, and they lit him on fire. Because his manly, burly, hairy chest just caught in flames. So there you go. Oh, this is a nice one. This is an adjustable evacuation slide. So this is when a mobility-impaired person requires evacuation up or down the stairs, basically. So you can just drag a wheelchair guy down the stairs. You lay him in this sled. That's good. That seems useful. Good thing you saved that guy. Snips, blanket. This is horrible, boring stuff. This is not nearly as fun as making fun of the handicapped. And for that, I apologize. How was I to know? I could get a health-o-meter, also known as a scale. Oh, butt thermometer. That's good. I always said if someone's going to use a butt thermometer in there, they better be, like, you know, I don't know, putting in a suppository or something while they're at it. I'm not just getting this thermometer put in my butt to take my temperature. You better take care of all the business, all the butt business back there while you're there. Don't just leave me hanging. Do it all. Just get it all done. I really do. Someone needs to start a medical service where you go in once a year and they just do all your unpleasant medical stuff while you're anesthetized. They do your dental stuff. They do the butt stuff. If you're a lady, they do the vaginals. You know, whatever you call that appointment, they just do that. Why do you need to be awake for that? I assume they don't tell you, like, okay, now flex your vagina and release. Now flex the left side. Good. Release. Okay. Now, I don't even know. I don't know what they tell. It seems like they just tell you, all right, well, just sit there and be uncomfortable and this will be over soon, but not as soon as you'd like. I'm just saying, do you have to participate? I don't need to participate when they're like, well, okay, where you're getting your cavity drilled. Oh, okay. Well, good thing I was awake for that. I like to, you know, you hear these stories all the time of like, ooh, the dentist or the surgeon put somebody under and then he like put his penis in them or something. I think I would trade a lifetime of being awake for dental appointments for one time where, like, the dentist hit me in the face with his penis. That's fine. That's an even trade. I'm fine with that. if they were like, well, you'll never be awake for another dental appointment, but one time the dentist is going to like pee in your nose a little, I'd be like, that's fair. You know, I have such a low bar of expectation from the pleasure to pain ratio at the dentist that that doesn't seem out of sorts to me at all. I'm fine with this. So I had this whole list of stuff that I've been meaning to get to that I have not gotten to in forever. So I thought what we could do is maybe just try and go down the list, take care of as much shit as possible, get through a bunch of stuff. So the first thing I had is a good friend of this show was involved in saving someone's life. You may know this person best from their hit song, which I will let speak for itself. What a victim, man. Judgment comes for you, when judgment comes for you. What you gonna do when it ain't nowhere to hide? When judgment comes for you, cause it's gonna come for you. Or you may know them best from my hit song. Snow, 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 which is basically the same song, but worse. Tell me what you gonna do when there ain't nowhere to run. Snowman comes with you, snowman. So here's the deal. Tell me what you gonna do. One of the bone thugs, Lazy Bone, that's L-A-Y-Z-I-E, because why the fuck not, saved a man's life. That's right. We've got an article from USA Today. This is going to be terrible. This is going to make my computer not work. Lazy Bone turned out to be a lifesaver for a Wyoming man over the weekend. Just call him a rapper first responder. That's not even like a joke. Why would you call it? They should have called him like Sawbones Thugs in Harmony or some shit like that. A rapper first responder isn't a thing. Okay. Stephen Lazybone Howes of the Grammy-winning, mega-selling group Bone Thugs and Harmony helped rescue a driver who went into a diabetic shock and nearly ran into the rapper's vehicle as well as other cars on a Wyoming road. Lazybone reported on the episode on his Instagram page, thanking Jehovah, misspelled, for protecting this young man, and thanks we didn't have to witness the worst. Not worst, but worse. Jesus Christ. Well, that's a lyricist. Here's his whole thing. This is long. Dear Lord, thank you for your mercy, grace, and forgiveness for second chances. We just witnessed a man, 24 years old, driving super erratically from Casper, misspelled, Wyoming to Riverton, Wyoming. We thought he was a drunk doing 60 mile per hour when he spun out of control and did a complete 180 asterisk degrees. Thank God he didn't flip. He was 30 feet in front of us. Turns out after we stopped to check on him, he was having a diabetic shock. Thanks to the EMS on the scene that happens to be driving right behind us from Indiana and the cute old couple in the RV for the apples and oranges we gave him. My heart is still racing. Again, thank you, Jehovah, misspelled, for protecting this young man, and thanks that we didn't have to witness the worst. At Tony BFBG. Woo, now let's do this show. Be safe, people. Lazy loves ya. So there you go. There you go. On a Saturday, his new album is called Perfect Timing. See, now why wouldn't you call that in the headline? That's much better than the fucking rapper turned first responder. First rap sponder. That's better. There are so many better things. And then it goes on to just take little quips from what I just said. We ran over to him, trying to get his name, looking if there's any alcoholic beverages or anything. But he was delirious, and you could tell he wasn't in his right state of mind. The man was taken to hospital and treated. Oh, on Twitter, Lazy Bone's heroics were noted. Lazy Bone proves he's not lazy by saving a man's life in Wyoming. Good one, MTV News. Lazy Bone proves he's not lazy. God, how about like, dude not boned thanks to Bone. Thug turns bone. Have a boner. 24-year-old man will have another bone thanks to Bone. Oh, man. I was almost in tears, said Lazy Bone. I guess I was just in the right place at the right time. Well, he's a fucking idiot. It was a mistake. It was a mistake to bring that one up. Okay. Well, there you go. That's something off the list. Lazy Bone saved a dude's life, sort of. Sounds like he just kind of was there when a dude didn't die. The reports of his saving of a guy were greatly exaggerated. Well, let's move on. We have another celebrity friend of the show. Your friend and mine. Some of you know him as the Demolition Man. Others of you know him as Tango and Cash. Or Cash. I think he's Tango. I think he's Ray Tango. We have Larry King interviewed Sylvester Stallone about a little product called his protein pudding. Now, this is something, I guess, that Stallone had at one time, which I really tried to get my hands on to talk about because, you know, I want my hands on his pudding, by which I mean his fucking face, because what the fuck is going on with his face, huh? But he had a pudding that I guess was like high. It was like a high protein snack that supposedly didn't taste like shit. So here we go. We have him. Have him here. This is when he was turning 59. So this is about 30 years ago, by my reckoning. If he's 90 now, which sounds about right. See if this tells the date. Oh, 2005. So this is 10 years old. So he's 69. Summer, I was 69.
Coaching, I love seeing people step up and do things that are extraordinary.
I still got Lazy Bone going. I'm trying to turn him off, but my computer's kind of slow.
I enjoy this.
I hit the stop button.
Again, it's all about, you know, trying to make lives a little bit better. And I'm trying to figure out what to do, you know. Keep that family going, you know, having a great time.
And just, more kids?
Not more kids. I just want to get as much quality life out of our life while we're here, you know.
You want to see them grow up.
Yeah, I really do.
How old are you now?
I'm 58 and a half, three quarters, actually about 11, 12.
Well, you'll see him grow up. His good genes, you have good genes.
Yeah,
this must be before his son died. This is unfortunate. All right, continue.
How old is your dad live?
I think he's like 86 now, 85.
All good stuff.
My mother is 41, so we won't go there.
I know your mother.
Exactly. I think she's actually losing time.
Do you think she is?
So his dad
my mother will be 12 in a couple
of years. So Stallone's dad was 40 years older than his mom. That's pretty crazy. Also, his dad's 80-something. He's like 60, so his dad was 20. So wait a minute. If Stallone is 59... Guys, I just got taken by a Stallone joke about his mom's age. I'm embarrassed. This is a new low for me in this show. Okay.
That's fine.
Frank is great. Frank is very, very good for it. He was responsible for picking a lot of the guys on the Contender. He's good.
Did a good job.
Actually,
oh, here they go. They're cracked open this pudding. Looks like they're going to have a little... have a little taste of Stallone pudding. It's in metal containers.
The Sly Moves. Magazine is Sly. The product is Stallone High Protein Pudding.
Did we forget anything?
Jennifer will be selling all this on QVC a week from Saturday.
Shameless, but I love it.
Sly Stallone.
Thank you, baby. Oh, thank you.
Play the Rocky music. What the fuck is this shit? Let's just skip ahead a little.
CNN.
Okay, now I have in front of me Stallone High Protein Pudding, vanilla cream, 20 grams of protein, low carbs.
Stallone High Protein Pudding. It's, I guess, Larry King's voice. You say a thing and then you let it extend for high protein pudding.
Sugar free. One carb. 100 calories.
They, what a misprint. How dare them do that?
One carb. What is this a whole line of products?
Again, I believe that what nature takes away, you got to put back. And regular food is not going to do it unless you sit there and you're raised on a farm where you have that.
Hear that, you vegans? Regular food is not going to put it back in what your body takes out. Doy. Welcome to science, motherfuckers.
A kind of biotanical grocery store.
Biotanical grocery store. You know, those biotanical grocery stores, like your Wholesome Foods and your Traverser Joe's, all that kind of stuff.
Next to you, I believe supplements are the key for people. It's really important for energy, for breaking down, for burning, thermogenics, for losing weight. And I thought, you know what?
For thermogenics, of course, we all know the science of biological thermogenics covered in your basic. I remember in health class, we saw a diagram, and it's like, this is a penis. We saw another one where, like, this is also a penis. And then we saw a third penis, and then the teacher was asked to leave the school because he was just showing us penis pictures. And then we got a new teacher who actually knew health, and she told us about thermogenics.
One thing, I've seen 1,000 of these protein bars. Well, it would take 30 of these cans to equal one protein bar amount of carbohydrates. So I said, and yet I get the same amount of protein. So I thought, why don't I try something like pudding? So I go, pudding, the name kind of gooky pudding, whatever. Then I thought, yeah, pudding. That hasn't been around for a while. So the guy started working on it. And
I thought, yeah, pudding. That hasn't been around for a while. Okay. It's been a very long time since we've had a pudding revolution. You know, Cosby did it. We all knew he was fucking ripped. So why not Stallone?
We all got together.
So the only pudding is the only product so far?
No. I do a thing called Lean Fire, which is for energy, and I do a thing for male testosterone, which is 4-ASA-T, which really, I'm warning you right now, this could be hazardous to your health.
Put Viagra.
Yes, it's like that.
Where do you obtain
it? You'll be jousting up and down the street.
Where do you obtain it?
There you go. That was a boner joke on Larry King, everybody. You'll be jousting up and down the street with your boner. That he didn't say with your boner, but that was what it meant. You'll be jousting up and down the street, running around just with a boner from the drugs that Stallone is taking.
This right now they're at GNC and other and
online. Let's try it.
Yeah, let's.
You know they're at GNC and other alleys where you get stuff out of a guy's trunk.
Try it. Oh, yeah, I got the easy one.
Some of these things.
I know, mine is broken. You did get the.
Larry King couldn't open a pudding cup. Good thing he's got this big, strong man there, because opening a pudding, it's not like, you know, opening a pudding.
Crappy one. See, this is where bodybuilding comes in hand. There we go.
This is good.
This is not bad.
No, not bad.
Thank you. This is, again, 20 grams of protein, and it's in a pudding form. So children eat it, you eat it, you can take it to work. It's like
children can eat it. That's a good idea. You know, I tend to just like, I never understood why my mom didn't just pack me a couple fucking power bars and then, you know, a steroid syringe for lunch. That would have got me. I would have stopped being picked on by bullies in school, you know, because they'd be like, he's crazy. His back is covered in acne. He's bald, but has back hair and he's in third grade. I'm not fucking with. I don't want to touch him.
Only 100 calories.
100 calories.
20 calories from fat. 20 fat calories.
No.
It says 20 fat.
It does say 20 fat calories, right. Yeah. That's it.
2 grams of total fat. Right?
No. Yes.
And about 1.5 carbohydrates, which is nothing.
Watching Sylvester Stallone eat pudding is not a pleasant experience. This is not a man that you want to watch eat a soft food. or any food really, but I'm trying to think, because you don't really see him eat a lot in movies. There's one part in Demolition Man where he's eating a rat burger, and it's weird. He eats a hamburger in like two bites, made of rat, but putting not his food.
It's fantastic. Potassium is what keeps those muscles firing. And
no sugar. Now, how do they do that?
Isn't that amazing?
And it comes in chocolate, no other flavors?
Well, yeah, we just developed a banana, lemon, whatever. I mean, I'm starting to feel like a traveling salesman, but I'm really proud of this stuff because it is, you know, really.
No, and you get it at GNC.
Exactly right. Coming up next on the next segment, nasal hair.
That's it.
We'll have a nasal hair remover. Thank you very much.
I just had someone ask me if I wanted like a nasal wax. Like to remove the hair in my nose, which sounds like the worst thing. If you have never done it, get a pair of tweezers and pull a hair out of your nose. It is the worst thing you can experience.
We got it.
Sly, I'll be back there.
I've been to a concentration camp. Okay? I know what I'm talking about.
Sweet. It is nasal hair remover.
That's right. Drug sweepers.
Also gets it out of the ears. Why don't we bring up this when we're eating?
You know what? To take the onus off of eating. To take the onus. I enjoy this.
It's a great snack.
Thank you. And your kid will eat it. And
your kid will eat it. Get his protein.
You know, it's one thing. It's great. I'm really appreciative about films and having that taking that journey. And I still want to take it some more. But I thought, you know, Arnold was really smart. I'm serious. Arnold, some of the other actors from bygone eras who took their celebrity and moved it. Remember Cary Grant was going to the Fabergé and he was going different things. I said, why not? Why just, is there some kind of religious experience of just being pure forever?
It's a put down.
No, but it's not true. I'm looking today and when Laurence Olivier stepped out and did Polaroid, that all bets were off.
Correct.
All bets were off. And I said, why not? Why not? Use the entire experience. Now,
De Niro, American Express.
Please.
Yeah, De Niro.
Julianne Moore. You see him on sure. DTV. I thought, you know, because at first I was incredibly standoffish about it.
You are?
Yeah. They're not going, you know, excuse me, aren't you pulling yourself a little holier than
anything
now?
You want to do you haven't done?
Not really. I mean, I wish I could go back and change a few things, but that is
Copland?
The pain of everyone's existence is like frustration. But I would like to, I wish The Contender could have gone on more, only because, not that it's such a financial bonanza, but it really served a purpose. It's where I live. I love.
There you go. That'll do. That'll do, pigs. So Stallone pudding. You can get that nowhere. It doesn't exist anymore. Looks like it ran for about 6 months, and then someone sued him because it was like, hey, fucker, I made that. And then you just stole it from me. So there you go. Pudding, boner joke, it's all there. We've done it all. Let's go to the next thing on the list. This is a question I had. You know how you see... I'm just going to see if I can bring this up. You know how you'll see from time to time a picture or a video and it's like, okay, here we go. Coco the gorilla plays with her kitten. Or Coco the gorilla cries over the loss of her kitten. Does that mean it was dead? What's going on with Coco? Is she killing? Well, here's my question with gorillas and kittens. Who was the first person who thought, hey, you know what? This is a gorilla. Now, a gorilla has the strength of like 1,000 men, right? What should we do? Let's give it a kitten. Okay, here we go.
The reason that it stands out in people's memories is because there's an emotional surprise there.
You can hear the little kitty
there's
meowing.
A giant gorilla.
Oh, and Coco is hugging the kitten. And my video's frozen.
Tiny, 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 helpless kitten and being gentle and loving toward that kitten.
But Coco was gentle and loving.
Coco ran
the kitten's crawling
kitten.
Around on
she
kitten.
She called him All Ball because to her, the cat looked...
I don't know what's going on. We're having a computer problem. But Coco is playing with a kitten, which is great. And the kitten's adorable. Now, how did they know that when this kitten...
Like a little ball.
When this kitten went in there, that Coco wasn't just going to tear its head off.
Coco adored All Ball, and they spent countless hours playing together.
Like, how did they know?
And
oh,
yet,
and now it's
it
grown
was
up.
By loving the little tailless kitten that Coco learned one of life's hardest lessons.
Uh-oh. Coco learned life's hardest lesson.
One evening, All Ball was tragically killed on a nearby logging road.
Oh, no. Was killed on a nearby
Coco
logging
was
road?
Heartbroken.
Coco?
This
All
lady.
Ball was hit by a car.
I went
this
in.
This lady is signing to Coco. All Ball was hit by a
and
car.
And right away, and I said, Coco, something's happened to your kitty, and he won't be here anymore. You
know, and he won't be here.
The cat has died.
Coco is signing bad, sad, bad.
Penny stayed with Coco to comfort her.
Coco's very sad.
And later, privately, Coco expressed her grief.
We're seeing Coco. I can't tell that anything's happening. Oh. Coco's upset as fuck. So, I mean, it worked out. But, I don't know, man. That seems so risky to me. Like, you know, just put a helpless kitten in with a goddamn gorilla. Would you put your baby in there? The first person who thought of that, no one was like, dude, I know, okay. Okay, I'm going to look at this from your perspective. Cute as hell, right? This could be really, let's talk about this like risk reward. Risk, very high. Reward, also very high. Risk, again, very high. Like crazy. I don't know. So that's my gorilla kitten question. Let's see. I had in here Michael Clark Duncan's funeral. The other day, I was, you know, thinking about, oh shit, Michael Clark Duncan is dead. Like, I always forget that he's dead because I think, man, he hasn't been in any movies for a while. And then I'm like, oh, right. Right. That makes sense. And then I was like, wait a minute. He had a fune. Who carried that casket? Because that has to be the heaviest casket of all time. And so I looked up, you know, Michael Clark Duncan pallbearers, which came up shockingly fast in the Google when you start filling in the words, when it, you know, tells for you, like, hey, did you mean this? And sure did. And turns out it's a bunch of huge dudes. One of them is, I believe, a pro wrestler and gigantic. And they're also carrying him like low style, not up high, which would help. I just think it'd be really funny if Michael Clark Duncan, you know, in his will, right, was like, who do I want to have carry me? Let's see. You know, I would be honored to go to the grave with like Danny DeVito carrying me. Maybe DJ Qualls could take one of the handles on the old casket there. Who else would be his weakest friends? Oh, Steve Buscemi. They were in Armageddon together. Owen Wilson probably would be fun. You know, maybe a dog, a cute dog. That would be the worst. It almost seems like a joke. A very hilarious joke about a dead man. So, there you go. It was really important to me. I put it on this list that, we should talk about. Last thing I wanted to do, I wanted to look at some, Goosebumps books because as a child, I read these books in fear. I was sweating. I was like, don't go in the basement. Listen to the title of the book and do not go in the basement. or stay out of the basement. Why would you call it stay out of the basement instead of don't go in the basement? Go is like an active. Stay out of is like construction sign talk. So I wanted to see, are these like scary or are they just horrible? So let's look at a couple. The first, apparently, now I thought Stay Out of the Basement was book one. Oh, boy, is my face red. Because in July of 1992, we got Welcome to the Dead House. I thought Stay Out of the Basement was a not catchy title, but Welcome to the Dead House, probably worse. They all had a tagline, too, that was like, you know, Welcome to the Dead House. It's dead and it's a house. The tagline for this one was, It Will Just Kill You. Which is nice because, that's to the point. Welcome to the Dead House. It will kill you. It will murder you. Oh, okay. That's got to be, I feel like the Ginger Dead Man had a better tagline than that. So here's the plot. When the family takes their first trip to Dark Falls to meet with the real estate agent Compton Dawes and view their new home, only the two children and their dog, Petey, immediately sense that something is not quite right. Despite the fact that it is the middle of July, the entire neighborhood seems covered in an artificial darkness created by massive overhanging tree limbs. Dead brown leaves, shade, and shadows are everywhere. Then there's the house itself, which obviously was not constructed any time in the recent past. This house is from the 1970s. I like to, this is like a hallmark of these books, is a kid is always like, Dad, something's creepy. And the dad's like, oh, fuck off. You're a kid. You don't know anything. And he's like, I turn on the shower and blood comes out. And he's like, that's just rust in the pipes. Calm down. And he's like, the cat got its head. It came in the room and the door slammed really fast and chopped the cat's head off. And he's like, it's an old house. These things, like, the parents are so purposely, it would be a really good horror movie. They move into a creepy house. And then the parents immediately are like, this thing is so fucking haunted. But then they get together and they're like, you know what would be really funny? Is like, let's just let the kids discover the haunted house. And then we'll pretend like it's normal. Like, they'll come up to us and be like, there's a ghost in the refrigerator. I filled the bathtub and it was full of slime that tried to eat a baby. And we'll be like, you have the wildest imagination. Let's just go as long as we can. And then let's get the fuck out of here because this is definitely haunted. But maybe we'll, listen. We were both honest. We didn't want to have three kids. Maybe this is a good way to lose one. Do you think that's why families and movies and stuff move into a haunted house? Because they're like, oh, we got to unload some of this fucking dead weight. The middle kid, Brad's not going anywhere. Maybe he'll bumble into, let's put his room in the basement. See what happens. All right. It's an enormous, dark, antique house with two big bay windows on the second floor that look eerily like a pair of observing eyes. While Josh proceeds to impatiently whine in protest over the latest tragic development in his life, Amanda watches with amazement as a boy appears suddenly in the doorway of her new bedroom and disappears suddenly. Amanda feels much better after seeing her bedroom. Okay. She goes outside to tell Josh about it, but he's gone. And then she finds him a little while later in the cemetery, being chased by someone. Amanda keeps seeing other children in her home and hearing strange sounds. Also, the friends she makes all seem a little different. It is later revealed that the children are all dead, having been murdered when they lived in that house. Once a year, they must have the blood from a freshly killed person to sustain their living dead existence for another year. That makes sense. One of the undead children, Ray, attacks Amanda in the cemetery while her brother, Josh, is still looking for the dog. Josh saves her at the last moment when he shines his light on Ray's face. This results in Ray disintegrating and becoming a pile of bones. Okay. Amanda and Josh run home, but when they arrive, they are attacked by the dead children, who explain that there is no dead great uncle and that their letter sent to their parents was a trick to bring the Benson family to Dark Falls. This is the dead house. Once a year, you see, we need new blood, the dead children say, as they move forward to kill Amanda and Josh. You really have to kill them both? Suddenly, Mr. Dawes, the real estate agent, appears at the door and the dead children vanish. He tells them that he has already saved their parents from the dead people and that he will take them to join their parents. As the family is leaving the dead house, they meet on the driveway, a new family coming to move to the house. Only someone too familiar is there, and Amanda is sure it's Mr. Dawes. What? That doesn't make sense. I thought Mr. Dawes saved them. He's like, I saved you. Now I'm moving in. Dun, dun, dun. What? That doesn't even make sense. Mr. Dawes is insane. Okay. Haunted house. Dead kids. We need your blood. That's something. At least they need blood, I guess. That makes me happy. Let's go to Stay Out of the Basement. This is the one I remember. This is the book that I would have titled Scary Plant Dad, the book. Scary Plant Dad, colon, the book. Here's what happens. Yeah, and this has got like a plant man hand coming out of the door. It says, stay out of the basement. I think you could probably guess why. Because there's a plant man down there. Oh, my computer's frozen. Well, guys, I can't read the tagline, but it looks like it says, everything's waiting in the dark. Or maybe Plant Man is waiting in the dark. Why would the Plant Man be in the dark? You'd think he'd be in the light. I can read part of this, and hopefully by the time I get done, maybe this will be done. Not responding. Oh, God. Siblings Margaret and Casey Brewer are playing Frisbee outside on a warm California winter day. Very important to know that it's winter, since it's warm. Casey attempts to throw the Frisbee at their father, but he gruffly declines because he has too much work to do in the basement. Ooh, that sounds like very spooky behavior and not like something every dad would do at all. Casey and Margaret's father is a scientist. Ever since he got fired from Polytech, their botanist father has been hanging around the basement experimenting with plants. When Margaret tries to go down to the basement to see her father, he holds a bloody hand up to the light and utters, stay out of the basement. Casey and Margaret's mother, Mrs. Brewer, has to leave for Tucson to visit her sick sister, and Mrs. Brewer reminds Casey, Margaret, and even Margaret's friend Diane to be nice to Dr. Brewer and make sure he eats meals. That's as far as I can get with the frozen. Should I try and bring it up or just try and remember? The dad acts like a real dick. And they're supposed to stay out of the basement. And then they don't. And then he's a plant man. And he has like green blood. Green plant man blood. Made out of plant. It's like the vegetable gross blended drinks that I drink. But it's in his veins. I can't remember why. You know, in these books, like, someone turns into a plant man, right? And then he's automatically, like, this evil monster. Like, no one ever turns into plant man and then is like, well, actually, this is very different and is going to take some getting used to, but I don't really see why I need to murder everyone. Okay, let's see. I'm back. Stay out of the basement. You know, like, I don't think I need to run around killing my own children. I think I could just, you know, politely ask them, hey, please continue to stay out of the basement. All right, let's see. Here we go. Once Dr. Brewer emerges from the basement, his hands still bandaged, and takes Mrs. Brewer to the airport, Margaret gets a great idea. They should go in the basement and investigate Dr. Brewer's experiments. Now, remember, this book is called Stay Out of the Basement, and her idea is, let's go in the basement. Casey would rather watch the action movie that he rented, hopefully Demolition Man. Eventually, the three children make their way down into the basement. It is stacked with large, tall plants of many variations, some bearing fruits, all very large. this description is really horrible. Oh, man. Casey strips down to his waist, feeling terribly hot. That's a good decision in this kid's book. Let's get naked. He leaves his shirt down there. He notices a large glass contraption similar to a phone booth hooked up to a generator. He walks over to touch it, and his bare body jolts with shocks. After admonishing him for his hilarious plank by tickling his bare chest and stomach, the girls stop and listen. What the fuck? Hey, you're my brother. Get naked. Then I'm going to punish you by tickling. Book is getting sexy. No wonder I liked it so much. The tendrils of some of the plants begin to sway as if beckoning the children towards them, and indeed, some of the plants were heaving as if in breath. The children wisely decide to stay out of the basement after all and scatter just as Dr. Brewer pulls up in the driveway. No, they don't! Suddenly, Casey, looking down at his bare chest, remembers his shirt in the basement. This is what happens when you live this, you know, hippie SoCal lifestyle. Oh, dude, I didn't even know I'm not wearing a shirt. He goes to retrieve the plant. A plant grabs him and Sister frees him, but they run into Dr. Brewer as they go up the stairs. Dr. Brewer calmly sits them down at the kitchen table and tells them that one day he will explain everything and they'll go down together. But until then, they are not allowed in the basement. Even by that time, Casey had still not put his shirt on and was still bare-chested. The next morning, Dr. Brewer installed a lock on the door. Is that important that he's still bare-chested? By the way, I just want to keep you updated on this child's level of nudity. He stays topless for quite a long time. Arnold Stein's fucking weird, man. Mrs. Brewer calls and tells that her sister's surgery did not go as planned, so she'll be in Tucson a few more days. And Margaret tells her mother about the basement and how Dr. Brewer has started wearing a Dodgers cap at all times. Mrs. Brewer tells her that her daughter probably feels like he has something to prove to Mr. Martinez, his old boss who fired him. Don't worry about it. And Mr. Martinez hate the Dodgers. Margaret stays hidden until Dr. Brewer leaves. And then she retrieves the plastic bag he was eating from, discovers it was plant food. She tells Casey about this while she makes him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but he does not seem to think it is weird. And he then mocks her by pretending to be the incredible plant man, and she is weed woman. Yeah, no fucking shit, she's weed woman with a story like this. A few days later, Casey tosses a frisbee at his father, but it hits him in the head, knocking his Dodgers cap off and revealing green leaves growing on his scalp. Dr. Brewer then has a sit-down with his children and explains the leaves are a side effect, but he explains his experiments, and he asks the children if they are familiar with DNA. He's trying to take animal cells and put them into plant cells to create hybrid plants that have never existed. The glass booths in the basements are his transports, and although he is real close to succeeding, he has not made it work yet. He then brushes off all the moral and ethical concerns of his children as he heads back to the basement. But Dad, isn't that playing God? Fuck off. Daughter. That night, Margaret again spies on her father in the bathroom. Jesus Christ. She watches him take off his bandage and the blood from his wound is bright green. She also looks at his bedroom and watches him jacking off and his bed is filled with moist dirt and crawling worms. The next afternoon, Margaret tells Casey about the discoveries. Then Dr. Brewer says he made them lunch and he serves them green mashed potatoes. But the doorbell rings, so he doesn't have to go eat. They don't have to eat it. They put it in the trash and say they ate it. And Dr. Brewer leaves the next afternoon to say he's helping a neighbor install a sink. The children see this as their chance to once again not stay out of the basement. As soon as he leaves, Casey picks the lock and the two venture downstairs. They come across a guy's suit neatly folded near the table, and they realize they never saw this guy leave the house after he showed up yesterday. Then the guy comes home again and says, "Stay out of the basement, Jesus Christ." Later that day, the children hear sounds from the basement, and they find something shocking. Two of their fathers. One of them is a clone caused by Dr. Brewer's experiments. Not sure which one is their real father, Margaret picks up a hatchet and cuts one of the fathers. Red blood gushes from his hand. Therefore, Margaret turns on the clone and attacks him and kills it with the hatchet. Nice. 1 week later, Dr. Brew is burning all of his plants in his yard. He tells his children that he wants to discontinue his experiments permanently. Meanwhile, one of the smaller plants begins to prod Margaret with its leaves while whispering, "Margaret, help me. I am your real father." What? How is that possible? Well, that's quite the tale. I like the amount of nudity. I like that it was sexier than expected. You know, nothing like a sexy surprise to really sort of make a kid's book shine, huh? It's like, it's why that book about the night kitchen is so popular, right? Because it's like, I thought this was going to be like a fun little romp, but, little naked kid. Now, this is not my opinion, by the way. I don't like that. I find that kid to be a little fat. No, that's very gross. This is what other people think. This is what people back in the time when that was a popular thing thought. Not me. Not me. All right. Well, it's about 2 minutes past time to get out of here based on the content of what we're listening to. So I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys all for listening, like always. Hey, do me a fucking favor. I have 3 iTunes reviews right now. 3. Now, they're good reviews. But I could use a few more. I could use, like, 2 more. I mean, come on. Even if you don't use iTunes, just use it. Just get on it at someone else's computer, a work computer, whatever. Ask a friend. Be like, "Do you have iTunes? Can I borrow your iTunes?" If you have an iPhone, you can do it too. You don't have to do, you don't have to do a lot. Okay? Just review. Just be like 5 stars. And by the way, leave a 5-star review and then feel free to complain about it. Just leave a 5-star. That's all I ask. If you haven't done that yet, ashamed is what you should be. All right. See you guys later.